Today's Shia's Masechta Chul and Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, the bottom line. The Mishnah taught us in Amalai, if the Kohen told Yisrael when he sold him the animal that he's selling him the animal Chutz Min HaMatanas, except for the Matanas, the Kohen is saying that he is retaining the Matanas for himself, then the Allah is part of Matanas, then he won't have to give matanas. For many, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says that if the Kohen said when he sold the matanas, Amanasha matanas Shali, made a declaration that the matanas should remain mine, the halacha is that he still has to give. The Yisrael who purchased this animal has to give the matanas, but the halacha is nice and kohen shemirza. He could give it to any kohen that he sold chooses. And the stipulation the kohen who sold this animal made that the matanas are not included in the sale is not a valid stipulation. So how do we reconcile this? Ask the Gemara, what we just learned in our Mishnah, that such a statement is a valid statement. Answers the Gemara, Amanasch Chutz Karamis. You're asking a question from the case where somebody said Amnas versus the case where somebody said Chutz. Says the Gemara, the halacha in those two situations are very, very different. Chutz Shiura. When you sell something and you use the word Chutz, that means it wasn't included in the sale. And since it wasn't included in the sale, so it wasn't included in the sale. However, when the word that was not chutz, but rather it was amnas, so amnas means that it's a stipulation, it's a condition. And amnas lav shiurahu, this is not considered a stipulation. Because the many different pshatim, why amnas would not be valid over here. Some suggest the simplest pshat is that it's masnashakos v'al Torah. The Torah says that I have to give, that somebody who purchases an animal has to give the matnas kuhuna. And making a stipulation that rule should not be applicable is masna mashakos v'al Torah. And the halacha is that if somebody makes a tanai versus what it says in the Torah, is not considered a valid tanai. Another explanation is that the kaddish that when you say chutz, so that's determining how the sale should take place. And people, when they buy and sell, have a right to make that stipulation on what are the terms. Here, the condition is not in the sale. The condition is in the matanas. You can make a condition in a sale, and that's indeed what it means when it says chutz. But when you're trying to make a condition not in the sale, but rather you're trying to establish a condition that the sale should be a sale unequivocally. Just you're making conditions vis-a-vis the matanas. That's not a condition that's acceptable. Ramini asked the Gemara, the halacha is that the Braisa says that Amanasha Matanas Shali, if the Kohen sold the animal to the Kohen, to Yisrael, but when he sold the property to the animal to Yisrael, he said, I'm stipulating that you have to give me the gis, give the Matnas Kuna, the Loch's Matnas Shaloi, so we see that Amanas is valid, says the Gemara. Indeed, there is a machlokes between the brises. And what is the subject of machlokes? Bahapligi. The subject of the machlokes is how does the halacha look when the word amanas was used? Masover, the second brisa says amanas yiruhu. The way we look at manas is the same way as we look at any stipulation in the contract. It's not considered a question on the validity of the sale, and therefore it's considered acceptable. Masover was the first brisa, given the different explanations we gave why amanas is not a valid stipulation, that's why it's not a good stipulation. Amali, we learned in the Mishnah that if a butcher told, if a Yisrael told a butcher, "B'chali b'nei me'ah, I'm buying the intestines of the animal, and I'm just paying a flat fee, flat price for the intestines of the animal." And amongst them were matnas kahuna. The halacha is that those matnas kahuna, and as we learned and will now learn, they have the butcher who's working with this animal has to give those matnas kahuna to a kohen, but the seller does not have a right to deduct the value of those matnas kahuna. However, if the insides of the animal was sold by weight, so the whatever weight the matnas kahuna are deducted from the sale price. To which says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Loi Shana, when is the halacha that if you bought by weight, the matanas are given to the kohen, and the weight of those matanas are deducted from the price? El Sheshakel Atzmai. That's only in a case that he took it by himself. That means the seller never touched those matanas. So therefore, the kohen cannot demand their value. And he could go back to the buyer and ask him for them. If the butcher took the meat for himself, then the kohen could go after the butcher to give him the matanas. Because once the person, the butcher, took on those matanas, it's considered that he stole them, as he took it for himself, and the kohen has claim towards him. However, if the matanas are by the buyer, then the halacha is the butcher will take him from the buyer and give it to the kohen, and he'll have to pay the buyer for his loss. Rashi Omer, afir shakal tabach, even if the butcher kept it for himself, he kept the meat with the matanas adinimai, the kohen goes after the buyer because he is the one that's holding the matanas currently. Suggest the Gemara Lema, what is the basis of the machlokes? Suggest the Gemara, but the Rav Chisda come up with the arguing or what Rav Chisda said. Don Rav Chisda, cause of alone the shasha balam, somebody stole something and the owners of that object were not miyash, because as we learned extensively in Masechta Baba Metzia, that if somebody stole something from somebody else and the owner was miyash, so then it's not considered his anymore. So we have the person who stole it, and we also have the person who now has it. So says the Braisa, the person, the victim, he could collect from the person who stole it from him, because the moment this person stole something from him, he has an obligation of Avishavas Aveda, he has the obligation to return what he stole. Or Ratzmisagaiva, he could make collection from the person that who actually is holding it. And says the Gemara, so because all this took place before there was Yish. So says the Gemara, Rav holds like Rav Chisda, suggests the Gemara. The Mar is like Rav Chisda, Rav holds like Rav Chisda, that you could collect from either one. And therefore he says that if what the Mishnah means to say is that if the kohen could go after the butcher, or if he wants, he could go after the person who purchased the meat that has the matnas kahuna. Umar lasle Rav Chisda, Rav Asi disagrees with Rav Chisda, and he holds that the person who was stolen from cannot go after both of them. And therefore, the halacha is, if the second person ate up what was stolen, doesn't have any more, you go after the thief and not the one that got it. If, on the other hand, it's in the possession of the person who bought it, it's in the possession of the person who bought it from the gazlan, you go only after the person who's holding it. And therefore, in our Mishnah, where the person who purchased the matnas kahuna is holding on, has those matnas kahuna currently, Rav Asi will hold, you only go after him, and you don't go after the butcher. So isn't the Gemara suggesting that that's the machlokes Rav and Rav Asi, do we follow the opinion of Rav Chisda or not? says Meloy. The Kulam is Rav Chisda. We're going to say that everybody agrees with Rav Chisda. Everybody agrees that somebody who's the victim can go after either the Gazlan or the person who got it from the Gazlan. Machloikis is a much more fundamental question. Is there halach of all the halachas of Gezela apply by Matnas Kuna as it does in other financial situations? Or, since Matnas Kuhuna is not something that the coin is entitled to because it's something bought, sold, it's something that they get from Min HaShemayim, and therefore, since it's Min HaShemayim, there the halacha Rav Asi is going to say, whoever is actually holding it is the one that the Kohen could go after. And therefore, says the Gemara, the mass of Rav's opinion is Nigzalus, they're like any other object that's stolen, and you could go after the Gazlan or the other individuals holding it. Well, mass of whereas Rav Asi's opinion is Ainin Nigzalus, and therefore, since it's Ainin Nigzalus, you only could go after the one who's actually holding it. Ika the Masalei, and says the Gemara that those that have this discussion, the Shmatz b'fnei atzmai, as an independent halachim, Rav Amar Matnas Kuna Nigzalus. Rav holds a Matnas Kuna can Nigzalus, and the Kohen could go after the Gazlan, even though he doesn't have it anymore. Rasi Amar Matnas Kuna ain't Nigzalus, and you only go after the person who's actually holding on to the Matnas Kuna. Says the Mishnah Gershon, this guy, if you have a ger, became an individual who became a ger. For Heusel, and he owns a cow, and we don't know, Nishta Ashlin's Geyer, did this animal get slaughtered before he became a ger? And therefore, at that point, he was not Jewish. And since at that point, he was not Jewish, there's no claim for Matnas Kuna from him. And if it happened, but if the animal was slaughtered, Mishnah's Geyer, then he's going to be chayiv. Then he's going to be chayiv because at that point he's Jewish and he's chayiv and Matnas Kuna. The Sefer Chaver ben Chaver says that Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though he told him to shecht it after the geiris, this person was intending to become a ger, and he told the shoychet to wait to shecht it after he becomes a ger. If at the end of the day the shoychet shechted it before he became a ger, still he won't be chayiv a matnas kuna, because at the end of the day, at that point, he was not yet Jewish. And in the Sefer, it's going to be, says the Chaver b'Chaver, just the opposite. The ger was aware that having the animal slaughtered after he becomes a ger will cost him, because now he's going to have to give matnas kuna. So he told the shoychet, make sure to shecht it before I become a ger. But that's not what happened. What happened was that the shoychet shechted it after he became a ger. Since he shechted it after he became a ger, he will be held responsible. When we have a case of a suffix, where we don't know when did this take place, before or after, tells us the mitzvah has moitz mechaveroi kol of araya. And therefore that whenever you have a monetary claim, you have to be able to definitively prove that you deserve it. And if you can't definitively prove that you deserve it, then you don't have a claim. Our Mishnah has been speaking about a case, about a discussion about a suffix. And what is the halacha of a suffix? The Shaila of Tshuvos Tzemach Tzedek asks a question. He says, there's a woman that came out from Russia and doesn't know if her father was a Kohen or a Levi Yisrael. And as we've already learned in our Masechta, the chiyuv of Bechayr is only if the mother, not just if the father is a Kohen or a Levi, is there no Bechayra, but even when the mother is a Bas Kohen or Bas Levi, there's no Dinah Bechayr. And the question is there a mitzvah pinyan ben here? Because we don't know the status of the mother. So, of course, the first response would be we should follow Roiv. And most people are Yisrael. But there's a rule, Ein Holchen B'Momen Achar Roiv. And therefore, we can't just say that most people are not Kohen or Levi and should be a Bechor. But the question is, how does the Torah look at a Suffolk Bechorah? As we're going to be learning in our Gemara, under certain circumstances, as our Mishnah seemed to have just taught us, this is a regular example of a financial issue where Allah will be Hamotzi Mechavera Olivaraya. But on the other hand, one could say that this is a suffix and a mitzvah. And therefore, since it's a mitzvah, there we don't apply the regular rules of Hamotzi Mechavera Olivaraya. We're going to have to understand, so what do we do with our Mishnah? Then I saw that the Sefer Nachla Tzvi has a very interesting approach. The Nachla Tzvi's approach to this is that, yes, in Halacha, we follow Roiv under certain circumstances. In certain cases, we don't follow Roiv. But then there's a different types of Roiv. And he wants to suggest there's something that's called a Roiv Chazak and there's a Roiv Gerua. He says that this is a Roiv Gomer. Most people are Yisrael, and therefore, since it's a very strong Roiv, everybody will agree that we follow Roiv here. Our Mishnah discussed the question of somebody who became a Ger. And the underlying principle behind our Mishnah is clearly that a Ger Shin is Geir Kekot Shinoi L'Dami. And therefore, since a Ger Shin is Geir Kekot Shinoi L'Dami, whatever was the case before he became a Ger, he was not Jewish, and now whatever happened before that is irrelevant. So the Chashuk Yechemet has a discussion where Rabbi Yosha was asked, where there was a boy got engaged to a girl who he knew was a Geyrus. And then, after they got engaged, he turns out that she wasn't just a Geyrus. Her father was actually a Nazi, participated with the Nazis in World War II. Is that a reason that he could say, well, this is a Mekach Tosh? So he says, Rabbi Yosef said, that the Gemara says that the Bnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah B'nei Barak. So it doesn't make a difference where they came from. And in fact, the Sefer Chassidim, Simon Shin Ayin Zayin says, Kol She Yesh Lo Lev Tov, whoever has a good heart, V'lekech Yerush She Yesh Lo Lev Tov, and he marries a Yerush also has a good heart, V'goyim L'chassadim, and they're kind, V'ne'imim V'masav V'matar, they act properly, Mutav L'schatim B'zarim, it's better to marry such a woman, Meleschatim B'zei Yisrael, than to marry a full-fledged Jew. Shem Bem El Midas L'fisha Azera Shal Ger Yitzadikim Toivim. You have a ger that is acts appropriately, then the halacha is that you should marry her, maybe over a woman who was born as a Jew. And therefore, the halacha is, and that's also when we know that the Torah says how we have to treat Gerim, and part of treating Gerim right is such a situation where we have a woman who became a Geiris, and her Geiris was a sincere Geiris, and she's acting as a Geir is supposed to act, as a Jew is supposed to act. We have no right to discriminate, and there's no claim that he wants to dissolve the Shidduch. Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel Omar, Ramilei Rav Shimon ben Lakish Rav Yochanan. The following question Rav Shlokish asked Rav Yochanan. Tanan, our Mishnah says, Sofik. Our Mishnah just said if there's a Sofik, if you chayiv or not. The Mishnah said that you potter. Alma, clearly our Mishnah is teaching us, as we said, Sveik l'kul. If there's a Sofik, we are lenient. Ramini asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masech the Peya, when it speaks about Leket. And we know that the Halacha of Leket, the halacha of Leket is that if somebody is collecting the grain in his field, he has what fell when he was collecting it, the different rules, how much, is left as matnas aniyim. Chayre and the molim, if there are ant holes where the ants schlep their grain there. And now the question is, grain was found in that hole. Shevetach HaKama, that's amongst the grain. And now we have this ant hole that is amongst the grain, and we don't know what is the status of that grain. Is it grain that was dropped during the harvesting, and therefore it belongs to the name or not? The halacha is a reish shel ba'al bayis. Only what falls as we're harvesting the field. We could assume that this grain was taken by the ant, and therefore it's not leket. Shlach ha-katzarim. But however, if it's found right after the spot where the grain was harvested, halyoinim, what's on top, laniyim. We have to assume that what happened here was that this grain was in the field and that it was taken by the ants to their hole. Tachtoinim, what's on the bottom of the hole, shabal abayis. Because since they're on the bottom of the hole, it's fair to assume that they were there before the field was harvested. Rameya Oimer Hakol Aniyim. Rameya says even what's on the bottom of the hole goes to Aniyim, because he establishes the halacha to Sofek Leket Leket. That whenever we have a question about Leket, we are going to say that it belongs to Aniyim. So the Gemara's question is very obvious, that our Mishnah says that when we have a Sofek, HaMotzei Chavera Olav Araya, and here we see not like that. So of course the question is that this is the opinion of Rameya, the Rabbanim disagree, and will say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanon. So why is this such a difficult question? So Tosfos explains that the Rabbanon will also agree that Sofek Leket Leket. The Svara that's being said here is a good enough Svara that everybody would agree to the Svara. Amalei, Surah Yochan said to Rish Lakish, Al Tikni Teini, don't ask me from that Mishnah. My opinion is that that Mishnah is not really an accepted opinion. The Tanya and the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra Oimer Mishum Rameya, Sofek Leket Leket, we have a question about Leket, it's treated like Leket, Sofek Shikha, Shikha, Sofek Peya, Peya. And therefore, the Tanya that says that Sofek Leket Leket is only the opinion of Yehuda ben Agra, but not everybody agrees with it. Amaloi, to which Rish Lakish said to Rav Yochanan, Al Tishni Oysa El B'losh Metedem. Even if you'll say that this Braisa was said by Ben Tadl, and the way the Mefarshim explained, Ben Tadl was a famous individual who was not really very smart, and therefore you'll say it's only the opinion of this Ben Tadl, that's not going to be something that's going to influence me. Because says the Gemara of a Tamakomer, he made a very good explanation why this should be halacha, and therefore we're back to where we started. Our Mishnah seems to say that we don't, that by Sofik we don't collect it. Here it says we do. Domer Hashem Lakish, my diksev. The pasuk says until him oni v'rosh hatstiku, my hatstiku ilayim bedinim. If we're going to say that when you have a din Torah between a wealthy person and a poor and a poor person, make that the wealthy person should win. Says the poor person should win. Ask the Gemara. That is certainly not acceptable because the pasuk says v'dolei sedaberivoi. Just because somebody's poor does not give us a right to treat him more respectfully. Ella, what it means is tzaddik meshulchav v'tenlei. A person, the pasuk is teaching us, has to go out of his way to be kind to the ani. And if there's a question, if there's a chiv to give or not, you should give. You should be generous. And I saw that the Sheris Menachem explains why does the Torah tell us this? Because this is way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to treat us, and by us being kind to those that. By us being kind to people like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be kind to us. And therefore, as the Mashal explains the Gemara, even though we just learned in the Mishnah, there's a strong argument to say, HaMoitzim HaChavera Olav Araya. The Torah is saying, look away from that rule and be generous. Tzadik Mishalcha V'tenloi. Give, even though you can make an argument that you shouldn't have to. In fact, I saw that the Sefer Lakuti Bas Lakuti says, the pasuk says, Malva Hashem Choinen Dal. If somebody is Choinen the Dal, if somebody is generous to the Dal, It's considered like malva Hashem. It's considered like you lent money to Hashem. And when you lend money to Hashem, certainly Hashem is liable that he's going to pay back what he owes. By us acting that way to the Ani, we're, so to speak, guaranteeing ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take back. So we're back to our question. Here we're saying that we should be, by Sofik of Matnas Anim, we should be generous. Amishna says we say Amotzei Chaveiro Ol V'Raya. Amar Rava, to which Rava responds, Hacha, in our Mishnah, Para B'cheskos P'tura Kaima. The animal was originally the property of a non-Jew. Since the animal was originally the property, of a non-Jew, and it wasn't Chayiv Matnas Kuna, then therefore the Chazaka tells us that it should be should not be obligated to give, even if there's a point to be nice. Chakama, but when we talk about the case of the Kama, so the Kama belonged to a Jewish farmer, so there was a Chazaka that you should give him, he has a cheskes chiyuv. So the Gemara is differentiating between a case when there's a cheskes ptur, where the property belonged to a nochri, versus when the property belonged to a Jew. Amalei, so Abaye says to Rav Avarei, the Mishnah, when it speaks about taking challah from a dough, Isa nasas, the Isa of a ger, Nasas actually in this guy, if you prepared the dough before this individual became a ger, tatam in a challah. Mishnah's gayer, chayiv. Ubisofik chayiv. And we don't know, we are going to be, say, is chayiv. But here, he was originally not Jewish. So if he's originally not Jewish, he had a cheskes ptur. And we're saying now, if there's a cheskes ptur, you don't have to give. Amalei, so it says the Gemara, you can't compare the case of a Sofik Isa, Sofik challah, to the case of a Sofik matnas kuna. Sofik Yisrael Chumra. The halacha is that if somebody eats a dough from which challah was supposed to be taken, wasn't taken, he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. And therefore, even you can make an argument, therefore, in such a case, we go l'chumra. But when we speak about matnas kuna, if somebody eats matnas kuna, it's not there's a chiv misa, it's not there's an einish, it's a question of who owns it. There, sofik minor l'kula, we apply the rule of Maitzim Chaver Olav Araya. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is we're stricter by a sofik isur than a sofik minor. Damar b'chizda v'kein taner b'chiyah, sh'mayna sefer sveikus nemer b'ger. There are eight cases of a suffix by ger. Arba l'chiv, and four of them we are strict, and arba l'ptor, and four of them we're lenient. Karban ishta, if a geris had a baby, and we don't know if she had the baby before she was Jewish, or after she was Jewish. If before, she would not be chayiv the carbon that a woman who had a baby brings. If afterwards she be chayiv. Challah. Again, we don't know when this dough was made, before or after. B'chor behemet tameya. The halacha is that the Torah says by petach hamor that if somebody has a firstborn donkey, you have to redeem it with a sheep and give the sheep to the kohen. As the pasuk says, petach hamor tifta b'seh. And the question here is, we don't know when this baby chamor was born. Ubechor behemet taira, where we don't know again when this bechor was born before or after the geiris lechiyev. So, in all these cases, we're machmer. But the leida, because she's not allowed to enter the base of mikdash, she kachim. So we have to let her bring the carbon. Sok chala, as we said, if it's chayiv in chala and you don't take, there's going to be an isum eishmayim. By petach chamor, the halacha is that you'll redeem it with a sheep. But the Rishonim make a very important point in understanding the Gemara. The Rishonim say, go through the procedure of redeeming it, because like that you know it's redeemed, but you don't have to give it to the Kohen, because they will say, Hamotzi Mechaveroi, Olav Haraya. And by Sofik Bechor, the halacha is, don't shecht it before it becomes Balmum. And if at that point it still may be kachim, but wait till it becomes bamum and you could eat it. However, in the case of Reishis Agais, next parak we're going to learn a mitzvah Hashem, which speaks about the chiv to give the wool or as we're speaking now, a suffix by Matanis Lizroel Chaim Akeva, or a suffix of Pinyan Aben, do you have to give it or not? Pinyan Petach Hamor, if you have to give the ser, always leftar. Kiyos Rava, when Rava came from the Solba, Kama Kama Romile, he asked the question that in one place it says that the Rameis says, if we don't know if it was chayiv and leket before, after the geiris. And here it says it's chayiv. Our Mishnah seems to say a mitzvah chaver of haraya. He says, and that specific question, he says that Mishnah that says by kama wa machmer is following the opinion of Yehuda ben Agra. But normally we could be, normally in such a circumstance, we have a right to be lenient. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses a case that if somebody has money in his possession, and he's not sure if it's his own money or it's tzedakah money, he's obligated to give it. Even though the halacha is hamaitzim mechavera all of haraya, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, based on what we just learned in our Gemara, tzadik mishalcha v'tenloch, when it comes to tzedakah, we should be stricter, and if we have a question, we should give it. The Chasam Sofer speaks about a case where somebody pledged money towards its tzedakah, but he forgot to which fund he pledged the money. Says the Chasam Sofer, based on this psak, that he can't just exempt himself by saying it's the obligation of the Gaboyim to determine which tzedakah he meant to give, and he's going to have to give to every tzedakah that he possibly could have donated. The Tori Evan asks, even if our Mishnah, as we've been learning, exempts Sofik Matnas Kahuna, however, when there's a Chazakah, then the halacha is we certainly should follow the concept of Roiv. And Roiv is stronger than a Chazakah. And therefore his question is that in a case, Roiv, how do we look at Roiv? So the Baruch Tam makes a difference between a case where we know a field is subject to leket and that where we don't know. If we know he's chayiv, that's what the Gemara meant to differentiate versus where we don't know if he's chayiv. Says the Gemara, Levi Zara b'makom b'kishar. Levi planted in a place called Kishar, and in that place, says the Gemara, there were no poor people available to take the leket. Says the Gemara, Asla kamed Rav Sheshes, and this question was brought to Rav Sheshes. Amar Lein Rav Sheshes said, the pasuk says Le'ari Leged Tasev, V'loy Larav V'loy Latfim. The Torah says you don't have to leave the Matnas Aniyim for ravens and for bats. So therefore, if you don't have anybody to give the matna, you don't have anybody to give the matnas kuna to, you're not obligated to give that matnas kuhuna. And the Rishonim say that not only are you not obligated to give the matnas kuna under those circumstances, you're not obligated to transfer it into money, and then after you transfer it into the money, then hold on to that money. If there's nobody available, then you don't have. If there's nobody available to give the matnas kuna to, then you're not obligated. You're not obligated to give the matnas kuna in. And there's nobody. And this is a very important concept in the halachas of matnas kuna, matnas aniyim, bezman hazeh. The poskim say that. Is that Bizman Azeh, where we know that Aniyim are not interested in coming to our property and starting to collect the Matnas Kuna, they know that it's not really worth it to bother doing so. That's why we have a room for leniency in Matnas Kuna Bizman Azeh. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, regarding somebody took off truma when it was in the warehouse. One does not have to transport the truma from the warehouse to the city, not from the desert to the city. But if there's no kohen available to come out to where the truma is found, you have to hire somebody to bring the truma. They have truma. We don't want to see that this truma should go last. Now we don't understand. We just learned it's not your obligation. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from truma. Says the Gemara, shani truma the tavla. When we speak about truma, truma becomes tevel, and since truma becomes tevel, so therefore we have to be v'loisag. If you don't take it off, we have a very serious issue. V'loisag d'loy mafreshlot, you don't have an option not to take it. Since you don't have an option not to take it, that's why you have to do it. Ask the Gemara, but what about Zroy L'chaim Akeva? D'loy tavli. If you don't take Zroy L'chaim Akeva, the animal's not tevel. Yet with Tanya, the Braisa says, Makom shnagu limlig ba'golim, in a place where they take the calves and they put the hair, they take the hair off the skin that to make the skin edible. Lo yash the zroya. Don't take the skin off the zroya. Just give it to the kohen with the skin. In a place where they take the skin off the head, still you shouldn't skin the cheeks. For main shem kohen, if there's no kohen to give the matnas kunahu, evaluate, assess their value of oichlem, and then you'll give the value to the kohen because you can't pick it up now. So we see that you do have to give matnas kunah, and you can't just say, well, there's nobody to give it to. Answer the Gemara, Shani Matz Kuna Nasin Iksabe. Since the Torah says, V'nosan, L'kayin Azroya V'chayim V'keva, so the Torah says that the Torah goes out of its way to give that. Hashtar Slohachi, says the Gemara, now that the Gemara established this Vort, so Truma Nami Nasin Iksabe. When we speak about Truma, the Torah uses the word Nasina, and therefore it's not the same as the Matnas Aniyim. Ask the Gemara, what do we learn with Tazi Yisrael of Lamali? What does the Torah mean to teach us when it says Tazav a second time? Look at Tanya. Hamafkas Karmai, if somebody is Mafkas Karim. So a Mafkas Karim means that he's not Mechayiv and the Matas Aniyim. And this person then is being interesting. L'shachav Hishkim Mebotzroi. In the morning he goes and he cuts the grapes before anybody should get that. Is that considered as if he got it from Hefker? And since he got it from Hefker, he's not going to be chayiv and matnas aniyim. But the halacha is chayiv apart loy b'shechapia upartem ben ha'maisrus. So we see that Hefker, under certain circumstances, you will be chayiv and matnas aniyim. So who shaka the dinri dosel me midrasha? There was a bag full of money that came to the yeshiva. Rav Ami went and took ownership of the entire bag. Asked the Gemara, how was he allowed to do so? So how was he allowed to take this by himself? Says Gemara, he wasn't taking it for himself. What he did was that he was lanim zochabehem. He took ownership for the other talmidim. This is a whole different situation. Adam Chashev Shani, this was Rav Ami's yeshiva, and the assumption is that everybody who gave something gave it for Rav Ami. The Tanya, as the pasuk says, "Va'goyin gadol mi'echov, she'gadol mi'echov b'noi, the chayin gadol should be more handsome, b'chachma, wisdom, b'oishu, wealth." We have the obligation to support that the kohen gadol should have this. And therefore, somebody like Rav Ami, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, it's fair to assume that everything that was given to him. Of course, I saw that the Chasam Sofer asked the question that doesn't the Gemara teach us that Soinim Atanas Yechia, that we're supposed to avoid taking a gift. And here he was quick to take a gift. So the Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara in Masechet Kedushin says that usually the way Kedushin works is that the man gives the wife kedushin money, but let's say it's a situation where it's an honor that I should take money from you, where it's an honor that the husband should take money from the wife, so that's a valid kedushin. Here we're speaking about a case where they wanted to support the Kohen Gadol, where they want to support Rav Ami. In a case where we want to support a Talmud Chacham, it's an honor to support such a person. Since it's an honor to support such a person, it's not considered that you're taking a gift, which we should avoid. So we've been speaking about the Matnas Kuna, and the Mishnah says that we have to give the Tyrus the Zroya. Says the Gemara, Ez Zroya. What exactly is the Zroya? Says the Mishnah, Mina Perik Shel Akuva Al Kaf Shel Yad. In the hand, in the leg of an animal, there are three bones. There's the bottom bone, that's with the hoof. There's the, that's called the arkuva. Then there's the middle bone, which is called the shoik haregel. And as we spoke earlier in the Masechta, between the shoik haregel and the arkuva are the tsumas agidin. And then there's the top bone, another bone that we've spoken about in our Masechta, which is the kulis, which we know as the thigh bone. And the halacha, says Rashi, the Mishnah is telling us, is that when we have to give the zroya to the kayin, it means the two upper bones. Perak al kuva at kaf shal yad, from the second bone and the top bone, all the way up to the shoulder. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Torah speaks about the shalmi nazar. And the Torah says that we should give the zroya of the shalmi nazar. Torah says we should cook the shalmi nazar. The lokech hakadosh zroya should be shalem and ayim v'heinasoi. Connect the beregel, and when we have a carbon, we spoke at the beginning of our perek, chaz v'shoik. This is the shoik. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shoik min haperek shel kuva at tzovik shel regel. He says that the shoik is only the middle leg. Ezer lechi, continues the Mishnah. What is considered in being the lechi? Says the Mishnah, min haperek shel lechi. Apika shel gageris, from the place where the cheeks are connected to the jaw of the animal till the top, apika shel gageris, on top of the trachea. Tanabonon, says the Gemara, the Torah says that we have to give the Matnas Kuna v'nosel kar azroya l'chaim v'keva hakar azroya. Says the Gemara, when the Torah says Zroya means Zer Yamin. Ata oim Zroya Yamin, oim el Zer Smoil. Ask the Gemara, does it mean the right or maybe the left? Tamalayma Hazroya. Ask the Gemara, my Tamuda, what was just meant with teaching on this? Kedar Merava. As we discussed earlier, we spoke about the Gid Anoshim, and Rabbi Yehuda says that only one of the two Gid Anoshim is Osir, and we didn't know which one. And the Pasuk says, Al Kain La Yachru B'nei Yisrael's Gid Anoshah Kaf Ayerach. And we explained to me, Nam Yumenesh B'Yerach, when it says the Hey, means the right one. Hachinami, when it says Azroya, says the Gemara, means Ham Yumenesh B'Zroya, it means the right Zroya. Velachayim, Astema, now we're learning Heys, Astema, what does the Hey Belachayim come to teach us? Lovit Semesh B'Roish Kvosim, that the hair on the head of sheep is included with the L'chaim, the Seresh B'Zak and Tiyoshim, the hair of the beard of a goat is included in the L'chaim. The keva, what's that hay there? L'mayas l'havi cheva shal keva. There is fat on top of the keva, and as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, that even though this is fat that is also to be eaten, still the halach is, it's included in the keva. Damar Shua, the kahanim nogeba en yofav in the snula balam. The kahanim are generous, and they let the owners keep the chalif, tam the nagu. And the reason is that they were generous. Haloi nagu, if they didn't want to be generous, the dehu would belong to the kahanim. The Meiri explains that when we speak about the keva, there's two parts of the keva. There's the one of the chalv on top of it, which was saying they keep with the owner. And then there's the milk we spoke about extensively, the rennet. The rennet, they keep from the self. And the Chazanish explains that even though the Torah says that we have to give it to the Kohanim, but it's not, if the Kohanim are generous and let the owner keep it, it's not contradicting the, that's not considered the contradiction to the Nagu. Darsh Chamurus Hayoimrim. Some explain there's different Pshatim or Darsh Chamurus. Rashi explains difficult Psukim. Others explain the definition of Darsh Yerushumus means beautiful drushes, like a diamond. Hazroi Kenegre Yad, the Zroi is the hand, the Ken Oimri by Pinchas, the Yikach Roimach Biyodai. The Chaim is Tefillah, we daven with our mouth, the Ken Oimri, the Yamit Pinchas, the Yifalo. Keva Kemashmah is the stomach, the Ken Oimri, why is the Keva given? Because that was where the woman with Pinchas was stabbed. The Tana Maisla Mahocha, the Tana brings a different pasuk. That how do we know it's the right? Ainli Ella's Shoike Yamin. The Loch is only by the Shoike of the Karmen Shlomin. Zroya Mekdashim Minayin. Whenever the Torah says we should give the Zroya, how do we know it means the right? Tamaloimer Titnu. Titnu comes to teach us that it should be the right side. Eiz Lechi, we learned in the Mishnah, what is included in being the Lechi? Menaperek v'apika shel gageres. V'tanya noyet loy, u'beis shechita imay. It seems that you'll have to take the entire neck. And it's the Gemara. It goes back to machlokes that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Loy kasha. Hara, bonav rabbi b'chanan b'kins. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Tanya, that if you shecht an animal on a slant, mugremes, if you shecht the animal on a slant, the question is, the Tanakhama said that it's possible. But Chedra B'chanina Ba'im Tignes on the Gremish Yikshera, that if you shecht it slanty all the way down, it's still considered a valid Shechita, says the Gemara. So, according to B'chanina Ba'im Tignes, the neck goes all the way down, and therefore it's included in the L'chaim. Iba'is Ema Ha'ava Ha'Rabbanan. Or another way of explaining, we want it to be consistent with the Rabbanan. My Ima, what does the Mishnah mean? Beishkita Ima, Ima de Behema, that the rest of the animal, the top part of the neck, indeed is given to the Kayin. And Ima, the rest of the animal, is actually given to the Yisrael. It's not included in the L'chaim, which is the Matnas Kuhuna.